Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. We'll read verses 4 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here today. Lord, I believe with all my heart, thousands of years ago when you instituted the church, this is exactly what you had in mind. And thank you that your presence is here, the Holy Spirit. But Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Please fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our lives, and change eternity for many, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This is a gospel preaching church. If you came today for entertainment, that is not what we offer here. We offer preaching, we offer the old-time religion, and we offer the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not trying to keep up with anyone, we're just trying to lift up someone. This morning's sermon is going to be quite simple. There are many here, you've heard sermons exactly like this over and over again. You can thank God that at some point you accepted the subject of the sermon. I'll ask that everyone be still. We don't talk. You only walk out if there is an emergency. It is very, very, very important. Someone's eternity is hanging in the balances today. This is a very important time. Our church people take church very seriously, very seriously. Every service is big and every service is important. I'll read to you again two scriptures that you read with Brother Bush earlier. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'm going to tell you the three points to my outline this morning. It's simple. This is it. It's about the subject of salvation. Point one, it's free, because salvation's free. Point two, you need it. And point number three, please accept it. Salvation, it's free. You need it. Please accept it. You see, salvation is free to all men. By that we mean it costs nothing for you to be saved. Let me show you something. I said this earlier. This is a gospel preaching church. I don't think you would know this, but the words God and good come from the same root word. The word God and good, isn't that interesting that the word God and good come from the same root word? All you have to do with the word God is put another O in it and you've got the identical word. The word gospel comes from that same root word. So the word gospel, the word God, and the word good all have their origins in the same root word. Now, we're talking about the gospel. Well, so at the end of the word gospel is the letters S-P-E-L. S-P-E-L. Now, what does that mean? What does spell mean? Spell means news. News. Now, get this. That means we have the God spell, the good spell, And the way the word gospel is actually spelled is G-O-S-P-E-L. So there's the word go. But you see, the word spell meaning news, now what do we have here? We have God's news, which is good news, and it's go news. It's news worth spreading, it's good news, and it's God's news. That's what gospel, that's a definition of that word gospel. This means we're to go tell people the good news that God has given us. Now, what is that? You say, well, what's the good news? What's the good news? What is that? Here's the good news. God's Son, Jesus Christ, died for you. God's Son, Jesus Christ, was buried for you after dying for you. Here's the good news. After God's Son died for you and God's Son was buried for you, here's the even better news. He was resurrected from the dead for you. For you. And for me. I was a 16-year-old boy. It was not my privilege and honor to grow up here in West Virginia, but it's my honor and plan to die here. And if you're my enemy, we're not talking about this week, okay? I want to be buried right here. This is my home. But I grew up in the city of Winchester, Indiana. Be very honest, I never went to church. But Bob had never gone to church in my life until I was 16 years old. My mom and dad, I loved them, and you won't hear me say anything negative about it, but they just never took me, and I never went. I walked into a church building one Sunday morning, and that church met in a garage. They had kind of just started the church, and there was a two-car garage, had some steel chairs thrown out instead of pews, and had an old beat-up pulpit, and I heard a man stand up, and for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel. Up until that point, I'd known about religion, but the gospel's not religion. There's more to it than that. And I really thought, He really has no interest in me, and I'm not important, and that doesn't really apply to me. And that Sunday morning, that preacher stood up, and he said, you need to get born again. You need to get saved. God loves you. And he said, it doesn't matter who you are. You need to get saved or you can't go to heaven. And if you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell. I heard it for the very first time. I didn't respond that day. I didn't. It caught me so off guard. I thought, I've never heard anything like that. Nobody had ever told me that if I died, I would go to hell. Nobody had ever told me that God was interested in me, and nobody had ever told me that Jesus had died for me, was buried for me, and resurrected for me. It kind of hit me, and I went, oh my, well, that's all new. I've got to absorb this. I can't tell you how many weeks it was. That just kept going through my mind, and through my mind, and through my mind. And I remember one night, I was in my bedroom. I can still see it. There, little window by my bed. My bedroom was it was on a landing. I didn't actually have a room. We didn't have much money. There was a landing area that when you arrived at the second floor of our house, Mom and Dad had a room, my little brother had a room, and I was in the landing. In that landing, there was a window, and I remember looking out that window. I seen a street light, and it was getting dark, and it occurred to me, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. I'll never forget that night the rest of my life. I got down on my knees by my bed, and this is what I did. I said, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. I know I'm a sinner. I don't have anything to offer you, but I want to go to heaven. And I want you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart. I want you to be my Savior, and from this day forth, I'm claiming the fact that you're saving me right now according to what I've been taught from the Bible. I got off my knees. I went over to lay down in my bed, and a peace come across me. And I thought, well, taken care of. I'm not worried about whether I'm going to heaven anymore. And I was a 16-year-old boy, and that night, I got saved. I got saved. I'm glad that I had gone to a gospel preaching church. I'm glad that somebody was going to tell the news, and it was good news, and it was God's news, and it was for me. If you would, let me. I'll be a bit simple, but I just want to talk to you today. I can't think of anything better to talk about than the good news. I can't think of anything better to talk about than God's news. What a wonderful thing. I don't know about you, but maybe you say, Brother Owens, I've not been in church before. Or maybe, Brother Owens, I've never really taken a good hard look at that thing of heaven and hell. Just listen to me for a little while today. And so you know, there's a hell. This won't be what you call a hellfire brimstone sermon. But just so you know, there is a hell. But listen to me. Listen, follow my outline. It'll be ever so simple. Number one, the gift of salvation is free. It's free. Let me show you some verses. Salvation is a gift of God, and it's free. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There it says it's a gift. Now, I'm taking it from the old black and white. I mean, I didn't make that up. I just read to you from the Word of God. That's what God said. That's not what Jeff Owen said. That's what the Bible says. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." You see, salvation is a good gift. But wait a minute. Salvation is a perfect gift. Where did it come from? It came from above, but it's a gift. This thing, it's a gift. Salvation's free. It is a gift. If you've been around church and you said, you know what, I'd like to be saved, but I don't know if I can do what I need to do. No, it's a gift, see. Bible's teaching it's a gift. It's a good gift, but wait, better than that, it's a perfect gift. Every once in a while, and it's not been a long time ago now, I wanted to get my wife, Mrs. Owens, a gift. And she likes dresses. And I wanted to surprise her. So I went dress shopping. When I got there, I went over to where the hunting equipment was, and they didn't have any dresses. Then I found that department rather easily. Then I finally made it over to where all the dresses were. And so I was looking around a little bit, and a lady came over, and she said, "Can I help you, sir?" I pulled a dress over across me. I said, "You think this is my color?" She said, "Well, no, sir, not really, but I have something over here that'll go beautifully with your gray hair." I said, "Shut up, lady." No, I didn't. I got to looking around, and she said, and for who are you shopping?" I said, "My wife." She said, "What size?" I said, "I have no idea, and we can't talk about that." She said, "What color's her hair?" We talked about that for a little while. She said, "Well, what kind of print would she like?" And I'm telling you, I was so mixed up in about 10 minutes. What does she like, this style or that style? I didn't know there were so many styles. Nobody's ever asked me what style pants I wanted or what my preference was. We talked and talked, and finally, I did the most spiritual thing that I could possibly do to pick which one of those dresses. I went, "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe." I picked one. I was so proud of myself. They said, "You want it gift wrapped?" I said, "Yeah, let's do this all the way. Go all the way." And so I got that thing, and I took it home, and I gave it to her. I was so excited. I gave it to her, and she opened it up, and I said, "Honey, what do you think?" She said, "Oh, it's nice. It's nice." And then after we talked about it a little while, it probably started out real near perfect, and then it went to good. And then after we got a little further along, she said, "Honey," she said, "it's the thought that counts." you know, she said to me, she said, well, that's not going to be modest, and that's not, and I don't know if I like that bow right there, and I thought, okay, but let me tell you something, folks. Listen to this. It's not just the thought that counts in regard to the salvation that's made available to you. It is a perfect gift, and it fits everybody. See, I go to give a gift to someone that I love, and I can't give them a perfect gift. When you get salvation, it's a perfect gift. You see, salvation is a free gift. It can't be messed up. He's the one that made it possible. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is talking about that free gift that you received. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. See, salvation's a free gift. Salvation is a gift, and you can't say enough about it. It's a free gift. You'll run out of words to describe it. You'll find yourself a bit speechless because you've received something. It's a perfect something. It always fits. It's given from God. It was a free gift. You see, the Bible teaches that salvation is a free gift. Now, let me give you a couple thoughts about something that's a free gift. You see, a gift must be paid for by somebody else. See, salvation is free to us, and it didn't cost us anything, but Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid your ticket. You say, how did he do that? There's that death, burial, and resurrection. You see, but a gift is given to you, but yet it's paid for by somebody else. It's paid in full. Salvation, you don't share payments with God on salvation. No, he paid it all, 100%. Jesus paid it all. It's a gift. You know this? A gift cannot be earned. If anything is done to receive a gift, it ceases to be a gift. It becomes wages. A gift is free. It's free. If I said to Jareb Moore, I said, Jareb, I got a gift for you, buddy. I got a gift for you. I got $25 for you. If you'll come out to my house and mow the yard, I'll let you have it. He'd say, bummer. What kind of gift is that? Well, it couldn't be a gift if I paid wages to get it. It would only be a gift if I said, hey, Jareb, I got a gift of $25 for you. Here it is. If you reach out there and grab a hold of it, it would be his. But if he had to work to get it, then it wouldn't be a gift. Hey, a gift is not something that you take back. Did you know something? If you give me a gift, it's mine. Nah, 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 nah. It's mine. Look, when I receive a gift or you receive a gift from me, you don't take it back. You see, God has a gift for us, and God's not an Indian giver. We had to teach our children this because it doesn't come natural. If one of my boys gave another one of my boys the gift of a baseball card, and then later on that card had an increase in value, you know, you only give the cards away that you don't care about. And your little brothers are dumb. You know, they'll take that crummy card that nobody knows about that's valueless. But big brother, if he finds out that that baseball card has increased in value, may come along and say, I want that back. Well, look, it wasn't much of a gift, was it? You don't take a gift back. And I had to teach my kids, once you give it, it's theirs, period. It's theirs, no matter what. It's theirs. See, when we receive salvation, it is a gift. It's paid for by another. It's not something that I earned. It's a gift. God doesn't take it away from me. It's a gift. Hey, a gift is not something necessarily that is deserved. It's given from the giver's heart. You say, well, Brother Owens, I don't feel like I deserve salvation. Well, then you're just like the rest of us. Because we don't feel like we deserve it either. Hey, when you start getting a bunch of gifts, but you didn't earn it because you don't earn a gift, but if you start getting gifts and on the inside of you, you say, I deserve these. Something wrong in your thinking. It's not something you earned, but somebody gave it to you. It was a gift free to you. It cost them something. But then you get to thinking, well, I deserve this. Wait a minute. You didn't work to get it. How do you deserve it? But wait, none of us deserve heaven for all eternity. It was paid for by somebody else. You see, we're talking about gifts. It's a free gift. A gift, here's all you got to do with a gift, is you just receive it. You take it. That's it. God has the gift of salvation for you. You must personally accept it for yourself, and it's yours. It's a free gift. That's point number one. Point number two. The gift of salvation is free to everyone, and everybody needs it. Now, there are two kinds of people in this building today, just so you know. There are people who have accepted the free gift of salvation, and there are the ones that have not. That's all we have in here. You say, well, I'm in the process. Well, that means you've not. See, you've either accepted it or you have not accepted it. It can even be made a little harsher. You've either accepted it or you've rejected it. You say, well, I don't want to reject it. I know we're getting to that here in a minute. You'll have your chance, but it's a gift. It's free. And it's free to everyone. Everyone needs it. Nobody's left out. Every human being that's ever been born needed to accept the free gift. Everyone. Nobody was left out. God didn't say, well, these people don't have to accept the free gift, or these people don't have to accept the free gift. Everybody has to accept the free gift. And everybody can accept the free gift. You know, there was a time when the Jewish race, they really felt like God cared about them and wasn't much interested in anybody else. But I've got news for them. God loves everybody. And the Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches that. Do you know that the German race had, there was an era in history where they thought that they were the master race and they were more important than everybody else. Well, I've got news for them, and they've learned since they're not the master race. They're not more important than anyone else. Just so you all know, in regard to this thing called salvation, you're no more important than me, and I'm no more important than you. Everybody counts and everybody's important. You say, well, Brother Owens, what exactly do you believe? I believe red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. I believe that everybody here, God has a free gift for you, and if you've not accepted it, you need to accept it. Now, the Bible teaches us a little bit about this. The Bible teaches us some things about it. How the Bible teaches that salvation is free to everyone. Now let me show you why you need salvation. Let me show you why you need this free gift. The Bible teaches that everyone's a sinner. You say, well, I'm not. Well, you just sinned right there, because that's called pride. Don't lie to yourself. And I've looked around the crowd, and I've not seen anybody that looks dumb enough to think they don't sin. Well, I did see this one guy. He was really dumb looking. But he's on the platform here, and I know he's saved, so. Say, why do I need this free gift? Why do I need that? Well, it's because everyone is a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. What's it mean? Basically, it means nobody's right all the time. Romans 3:12 says this, they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So we've all done bad. Why do we need this free gift? Well, it's because we've all done bad. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So don't lie to yourself about it. You need the same salvation that I need. Thank God, we've already discovered it's a free gift. I'm glad of that. Said, but I don't deserve it. This is why we don't deserve it. That's what I'm telling you. We don't deserve it. It's going to have to be a free gift. Somebody else is going to have to pay for it. When we get it, we're just going to have to accept it as a free gift. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. What? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You listen to me now. Every one of us have sinned. Listen to this verse. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, the Bible right there says, all of mankind has sinned. And because all of mankind has sinned, Jesus Christ died, was buried, and resurrected for all of mankind. That's why it says, on him the iniquity of us all. Every one of us. So, what are we talking about? I'm talking about salvation is a free gift, and it's for everyone, and if you don't have it, you need it. You've either accepted it, or you've not. You've accepted it, or you've rejected it, and we're offering you, through the Scripture, a free gift. Now, why do I need that free gift? I need that free gift because I've sinned. Now, here's the problem. This is what you got to add to this. You say, okay, I've sinned. So what? Now, I got to tell you, there's a penalty for that sin. There's a penalty. Because we have sinned, which all have, the Bible uses the word, we're all condemned. There is a penalty. There is a punishment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, there's that hell thing. That's something we don't want. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, here's what I got to tell you. We've got a thing. It's called salvation. It was paid for by somebody else. It's a free gift. Now, that free gift is for everybody, and everybody needs it that has not received it. Everybody's got to get this thing called salvation. Now, why do I need it? Because I'm a sinner. Well, what did that cause? Well, now, because I'm a sinner, I'm condemned. Because I'm a sinner, I am on my way to hell. Now, everybody can get saved. Everybody can get saved. Let me read some verses to you. The Bible says this, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, we've all sinned. We all deserve the condemnation. We all deserve the penalty. We all deserve to go to hell. But God is coming along, and he's saying, I don't want anybody to go to hell. So what did he do? He got a free gift. He said, I've got a gift to get you out of this jam that you're in. John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God here is saying to us, you're a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin. I don't want you to perish. I'm going to give you a gift, and that gift is going to get you out of the jam that you're in. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him what? The gift. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You say, I'm not really a part of the family of God. Let me explain something to you, folks. You say, Brother Owens, we all live here on the earth. We're all God's children. No, you have to understand something. We're all the creation of God. You become part of God's family by getting born into it. And you're born into it by receiving the free gift. Indeed, we're all God's creatures, but we're not all God's sons, because you got to be a part of the family to be a son. You say, I want to join up. I want to be a part of the family. What's it cost? It don't cost anything. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in Revelation 22:17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. God's saying, you're in a pickle. You're a sinner. You're condemned. You're on your way to hell. I don't want that. Oh, God, well, what are you going to do about it? I've already done it. I've got a free gift. What's that gift? What's the good news? Hey, what is it, God? My son, he died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. And it's a gift. All you got to do is accept it. Isaiah 55:1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Hey, God is saying to us, I want to save you. Hey, God got some other good news for you. The rich and the poor both, they can get saved. In the Bible, the gospel was offered to a rich man by the name of Nicodemus. There's a man by the name of Zacchaeus in the Bible. He was a businessman. Now, you got to understand something, folks. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. You've got to receive the free gift. You say, well, I'll pay my way. Can't do it. Can't let you. God won't let you. Can't pay your own way. You've got to receive the same gift that the rest of us receive. A wealthy man by the name of Zacchaeus, a businessman, he had to get saved the same way the poor man would. A well-to-do man by the name of Matthew in the Bible, he was a tax collector. But when it came time to getting saved, he had to accept the gift. A businessman, Peter, he was a fisherman. When Peter got saved, he got to save the same way I do or you do. He received the free gift. James and John and others that would have been considered somewhat well-to-do in the Bible, they got saved the same way everybody else did. Now, on the other hand, not only did rich people get saved in the Bible, poor people did. There's a guy by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. He was a beggar on the roadside. You say, Brother Lawrence, how did he get saved? He just accepted the free gift. You mean to tell me that beggar received the identical gift that the wealthy Zacchaeus did? Identical gift. Identical gift. It's the only gift that you can receive to go to heaven. And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, we all receive the same gift. There was a demon-possessed man that lived in a graveyard. One day he met Jesus and he got born again. He got saved. You know what he did? He received the gift. It was the gift of salvation. There's a gal by the name of Mary Magdalene. She was wild in her early years. The day she got saved, that woman, who was virtually a harlot, she got saved and received the same gift that Zacchaeus, the businessman, did. You know, I go down to Washington Dulles Airport, and I fly a lot. I fly enough that I'm considered a frequent flyer. You're saying, oh, just like me, Brother Owens. I said flyer, not liar. I said flyer. I'm a frequent flyer, and this is what happens. When I arrive there, because I'm a frequent flyer, you know, when you got to get at the airport, you got to get in a little line, and you go through an x-ray machine. And these lines for inspection or x-ray, they can get very, very long. But you know what they got at the airport now? They've got a frequent flyer quick line, and if you fly a lot, it means you kind of have some credentials. You don't have to get in that real, real long, long line of people to go get your x-ray. You get in an expedited or a rushed line, and that's great. I like that. Well, just let me tell all of you something. We all get in the same line for the same salvation. Nobody's expedited. Everybody gets it the same way. So we all got in the same line, whether they were rich or poor. What were we there to get? Salvation. Salvation. The gospel, the good news, the gift, it's for the rich. It's for the poor. Why do we need it? Because we're sinners. Everyone has sinned. And everyone then is going to be punished for their sin. Thank God Jesus Christ came along. He died for us, was buried for us, resurrected for us. He made a way for us to get out of the jam that we were in. And God said, I'm going to make it a free gift, but if it's going to be a free gift, I'm going to make it so the rich and the poor, they get it the very same way. Everybody's going to receive the same gift the same way. Everybody has an identical salvation. Salvation is for both the good and the bad. Good people and bad people. You say, I'm good. Do I need the gift? Yes, you do. You don't get to heaven because you're good. You get to heaven because you received the gift. The gift. The gift. The Bible talks about a man by the name of John. In the book of John. John chapter 3. A man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a pretty good man, but he had to receive the gift to go to heaven. There's a and then identically, there was a woman at a well that Jesus meets one day, and she's had three or four husbands and was living with somebody at the time. And based on what we would call our opinion, you know, they would have said, that's a bad woman. Wait a minute. Nicodemus had to receive the very same gift that the bad woman had to receive. She needed the gospel. So what are we talking about here? The good news, the gospel, God's plan to get us to heaven. You see, it's free. Everybody needs it. I just hope you'll take the free gift. It's free. It's free. Everybody's got to have it. You're not left out. Look, right now, if I could, I wish I could talk to every one of you. I'm here. I'm your friend. I'm here today to just tell you the truth about it. I wish I could go to every person and find out, have you received the gift? 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 I wish I could go to everyone. I wish I could get a great big line and I had the time to talk to every one of you, because there's one thing I want to know. Have you received the gift? It's a free gift. Only two kinds of people in this building this morning. Those of us that have received the free gift and those that have not. And everybody gets the same gift. It's coming from the same person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You get it the very same way that I get it, and I'll get it the same way that you got it. I remember the night that I got it. My God's not an Indian giver. He gave it. I've got it. I've still got it. And I'm saved, and I know that. Hey, it's free. It's for everybody. Everybody has to have it. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. It's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Now, next thing, if you don't have it, I wish you'd receive it. I wish you'd accept it. I want you to accept the free gift. Here's where it's at. The plan's already taken care of. He's already died. He's already been buried. He's already been resurrected. He's already written the instructions in his instruction book. Everything about your gift is all prepared. It's all done. You say, what next? Accept it. Receive it. It's free to us, but he does not force it upon us. Some will say, well, when God wants me, that's when I'll come to the Lord to get saved. He wants you right now. Oh, yeah. Others say, well, when my time comes, the Lord will tell me. He's telling you right now. My wife's sister sent her a Christmas gift. I think it was in November. It was all wrapped up. Her sister lives in California. And my wife had gotten a package in the mail. She tore into that thing. And she looked in there, and there was another box inside the box. And the box that was inside the box was wrapped in Christmas paper. It had a big sign on the front of it. It said, don't open until Christmas Day. That poor woman. Every day, she's over shaking that box, wanting to know what's inside there, wanting to know what's in there. I heard her call her sister and say, why'd you put that on there? Why'd you put that sign on there that I couldn't open it until Christmas Day? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? She wanted to open that thing so bad. Now, when Christmas Day came, she opened her gift. I'll tell you something about a salvation gift. It's got a sign on the front of it. It's to you personally. And it says, take it now. Open it now. No delay. God said, receive Christ now. Take the gift now. Do it now. What are you waiting for? It's a free gift. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Take it now. The Bible tells us in Matthew 11, 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. God is saying to you, I've got something. Just reach your hand out and take it. It's a free gift. John 6:37 says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, what's that coming? That's God. That's you saying, okay, God, I'll take it. I'll take the gift. John 1:41 says, he first findeth his own brother. And verse 42 it says, and he brought him to Jesus. This is a story where Andrew meets Jesus, he gets saved, and he goes to get Peter. Now, Peter is Andrew's brother. I have to understand. You have to understand something here. Peter ends up getting saved, but Peter had to go and say, "Jesus, I'll take what you're given. I'll take what you're given." John 5:40 it says, "And you will not come unto me that you might have life." What's it talking about? Jesus is saying, "I've got a gift. If you want the gift, you got to receive the gift. All you, your part is receiving. His part was producing. He's already produced the gift." Noah built an ark. In the Old Testament, that ark pictured the salvation of Noah and his family. You all know the story. The Bible says that God said to Noah, he said, "Noah, there's going to be a flood, and I want you to build an ark. And you're going to build that ark, and Noah, the people that will be saved from the flood, we're going to need to get on that ark when the flood comes." Let me tell you something. If Noah had worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked on that ark, and the rain started to come, but he wouldn't get in it, he would have drowned. He had to get in it. What was it? It was a picture of him saying, "I understand that I've got to receive the protection that's being made available." That's all there is to it. Folks, everybody is a sinner. There is a penalty for your sin. Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The gift has been paid for. The gift is for everyone. And the Lord is saying, "Please accept the gift. Please take the gift." So what do? You say, "All right, I want to be saved." This is what will happen. In a few minutes, we're going to have what we call an altar call. We're not going to put on a show. The plan is not to put on a show. We have people that have been trained with their Bibles to help someone that's not received the gift. They'll basically, quickly repeat to you what I've told you this morning. When we have the altar call, I'll say to everyone, bow your head and close your eyes. Then the pianist and organist will be told to play. We'll all end up standing up. I'll say, "If you've never received a gift, we would like to help you to do so." Oh, the choir will begin to sing. There will be people ready to help someone that's never received the gift. They'll show them a few verses in the Bible. And I'll say, "If you've never received a gift, won't you come and let us share the gift with you?" What's a gift? We'll show you in the scripture about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. We'll show you the plan of salvation. What they'll do then, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What they'll do is they'll say, "Now you need to ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you. Receive the free gift." There'll be all sorts of people that'll come and do it. That's what church is for. That's what church is for. There'll be people that a bunch of people will stay in their seats. They'll pray. The Christians will pray that anybody that hadn't received the gift will receive the gift today. I'm trying to embarrass anybody? Not at all. What's it all about? The gift. I started out by telling you this is a gospel preaching church. What's that mean? We have some good news. We've got the God news. We've got to tell people about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've got to make sure that people understand that they're sinners and they can't get themselves to heaven. And the good news is Jesus prepared a gift to take care of that. And it is our job to get that word out to people and help people to understand how to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, which is receiving the gift. If you've not received it, we'll help you. I'm not trying to get you to join my church. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm trying to do any of that. I'm offering you the gift. The gift that's been paid for by another. It's free. It's easy to get. You say, "Easy?" Well, it wasn't easy for Jesus. He's the one that paid the price. You just get the product. And that is a free, eternal, everlasting salvation. So it's simple. It's simple. And thank you for such good attention. It's simple. In the balcony, either you've received the gift or you haven't. You've either received it or you haven't. If you haven't, in a moment, if you'll leave the balcony, come down the back stairs, walk in this auditorium, and there'll be some people down here. They'll take a moment, remind you what I just said, and help you to receive the gift. In this section, if you've not received the gift, you need to receive it. Have you? Have you received the gift? Have you received the gift? It's very personal. So my uncle, he's received it. God's got a gift for you. You got to get that gift for yourself. It's very personal. Have you received the gift? Have you received the gift? If you haven't, won't you come get the gift that was very hard for Jesus to pay for, but it's very easy for you and I to receive? The gift of God. Listen to these verses and we're done. Listen to them again. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Stir up the gift of God that is in thee. Neglect not the gift that God gave you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Well, I hope you've got the gift. I'm talking about the gift of the salvation that Jesus Christ has made available. You can have it today. One thing that's going to put a little pressure on you, let me tell you this. Now you know about the gift. You've heard about the gift from the Scripture. You say, Brother Owens, I never heard that exactly before. Well, earlier I said some have received it and some have not. Now I've got to tell you something. There are those who have received it and they're saved. You've got a choice now, because now you know the truth about it. I made it very simple. You will either receive it or reject it. In other words, you're saying no to God. I don't think anybody here will do that. It's a free gift. So I'd never really heard that. You know what? When I was a 16-year-old boy, nobody had ever really told me either. I didn't know. But then the pressure came on me when I realized now I know I've got to make a decision. Folks, you won't leave here today neutral. You'll leave here having either accepted the gift or turned the gift away and said no to the gift of salvation. I sure hope you'll say yes.